The Rockets were oh so close to beating the Thunder and locking up the second seed in the West, but then Paul George happened.
Comes Westbrook, off to Adams, Westbrook corner, George for the lead.
Kevin Harlan on TNT, James Harden went on to miss at the buzzer. The Rockets fall in a heartbreaker, 112-111 last night. We'll find out what their seeding is after tonight. We'll see who they play in the playoffs. I don't think they'll play Oklahoma City, but there's still a chance. How much would Oklahoma City scare you guys in the playoffs, as John McClain joins us this morning?
Second only to the Golden State Warriors, but they are a little more concerning now. I think with the way Paul George has come on strong this season, it is noteworthy. He is not the same guy that we've seen in the past. I don't know if all of a sudden the playoffs present a new challenge for him. Check that, an old challenge for him. He's traditionally struggled in the playoffs, but I mean, he's hit a bunch of game-winning shots this season after never having any his entire career, and he's playing at an elite level defensively. Who'd have thought he would come back to this level after the leg injury that he had? He might be better than he was before he suffered that gruesome leg injury playing for Team USA.
In a series, I think you'll see what you've seen in these last couple Oklahoma City games, where the Rockets, for the majority of the game, are the better team, but yet they had managed to squander these huge leads because you have Paul George and Russell Westbrook on the other side. I think that balances out, but I could easily see it turning into a 6 or 7 game series where I'd rather have a shorter series than that. They make me nervous. They make me very nervous. They feel like the biggest wild card in terms of team that you should handle okay, but have some, the potential for a couple of games where they just ruin your dinner.
I agree with you guys. I agree with Paul
and Seth. They can light it, two superstars who can light it up. Last night, a great example. I watched that game after the Astros, and I thought that the Rockets were going to win at the end, even though they blew the lead. And when Harden missed the free throw at the end, I'm thinking, uh-oh. And then, of course, a great basket by George. They're the last team I would want to play in the first round.
I'm going to make it a clean sweep. Oklahoma City scares me with their top-end talent. And if the Rockets face Utah in the first round, which is looking more likely, I'd actually be a little bit more relieved. Next headline.
Fair ball down the left field line towards the corner. Yuli scores. Doritos will score. Kemp's going to score. George Springer. Oh, no, Kemp falls down. And now he's stuck between third and home, and he's going to get back to third. A 2-RBI double. It's 5-3 Astros.
Todd Callis on AT&T Sportsnet Southwest. That double by George Springer broke a 3-3 tie for the Astros in the eighth. They would tack on one more, and they win 6-3 against the Yankees. So let's take our temperature here a week and a half into the season. Right now, who is your guys' favorite on the team for the American League MVP?
Bregman. I'll just go straight by OPS at this point. As great as Altuve has looked, Bregman, who just, as long as his hamstring is no big deal, he's hitting every single night. He's gotten off to the fast start now over the course of a couple weeks, finally, that he hasn't had yet in Major League Baseball. And I feel like it's just a continuation of all the stuff he was doing at the end of last year. So it's Bregman for me.
I really like the way Carlos Correa has been seeing the ball to open up this season. But last night, it was more his defensive work that stood out. If I have to pick, I would say Bregman. I'm concerned about the hamstring injury just a little bit, but I will still pick Alex Bregman, who I predicted would win the MVP going into the year.
I'll go with George Springer. Springer's still their best clutch hitter, especially when they get down to the money games and the playoffs. He won the game last night, versatile in outfield. Truthfully, you couldn't go wrong with any of those three. Right now, none of the starting pitchers is lighting it up. But I say this, I don't know if they have a comeback player of the year in baseball like they do in football, but Correa is off to a great start if they did have that award to win it.
It was a weird night for Tony Kemp last night. Fell down in that highlight that you just heard. Had that weird play in left field where the ball went careening off the scoreboard. It was
I asked the question last night, and I was really just legitimately asking it. What's the deal with all the manual scoreboards that are in baseball? And I got a lot of very violent anti-me takes. I'm just asking the question, people. It seems like it would make a lot more sense to have a digital scoreboard.
Well, you know the end. It's tradition. That's all.
Just like the ballparks.
You know, see, people assume you're trolling because, like, you know the answer to that. Why is it? It's just a tradition.
I didn't. I figured that they would do away with it because it probably, you have to pay somebody to operate said scoreboard.
It's a kind of like, it's almost like, hey, why would you have a train up above in left field? Because it's kind of, It's fun.
But that,
you'll like
that,
it.
That I at least understand.
Okay, why do you a train operator up there? Because it's quaint.
Gotta be safe.
So, yeah.
You don't want to run over anybody.
You can run that with computers. They've got self-driving cars. Why not a self-driving train? It's an appeal to tradition.
You know, I do think if you're going to have a scoreboard, it might make a little bit more sense to have it in a place where it's not going to have weird careens off the wall. But I understand that at this point, it's probably too little too late.
My answer for MVP so far, Altuve. He has 3 home runs so far. The power is clearly back.
It is.
Squared up a couple pitches the last couple nights. And his batting average is .298. We know that is going to go up. So I'm going to roll with Altuve 11 games into the season.
Were you scared when Aaron Judge slid into him at second base? I'm so glad that they changed the sliding rule because he's so big. Like Aaron Judge sliding is probably almost as tall as Jose Altuve.
Yeah,
is.
John, you'd be best equipped to answer this versus the old days, the old blood and gut days where Aaron Judge would have tried to bisect Altuve, just flat out cut him in half. How do you feel about this new sissified version of baseball?
Breaking up double plays is an art form. It has been since the game was invented. I was talking to Jeff Bagwell recently, and that's something he really laments. But I like it because it's about safety, plus you can't block the plate anymore. Therefore, you see more third base coaches sending guys home. And it's about safety, and I'm all for safety.
I was kind of disappointed that Altuve didn't throw that well, knowing that he had the protection of the slide rule. That was mine.
It's one thing to know. It's another thing to
know. There's a 6'7", 285-pound guy exactly. Barreling
well,
down at you.
But he also, Judge didn't do a very good job. Judge could have interfered more than he did. He barely had his big body up there. Like I thought his slide was a little too early, if anything.
Next headline, Magic Johnson, shocking the NBA world by stepping down as the Lakers' president of basketball operations. Magic says he wants to go back to having fun. John McClain, how much should Magic be criticized for this, particularly because he did a press conference without telling his boss, Jeannie Buss, that he was actually stepping down?
And he said that he did that because he knew that they would cry together and she would talk him out of it. He had just had a meeting with her, and I read Bill Plaschke, the tremendous columnist from the Los Angeles Times, who wrote originally didn't think Magic was a good choice to run the team because he had too many diversive interests that required his time. And then they hired the agent, Pelinka, as the GM. And they're saying now he wanted to make moves like firing Luke Walton that Jeannie Buss didn't want to make. I can't imagine they're going to bring back Luke Walton anyway, but he's getting blasted by everybody out there locally and a lot of national people, not just from the way he did it, but they say he just didn't put his wholehearted effort into it.
This is, gosh, I hate legacy talk, but this is such a unique situation. I feel like this is a huge blotch on his legacy.
Absolutely.
This is one of the things that's going to come up when you talk about Magic Johnson.
It brought him back to save the Lakers, and he totally failed.
And he just mailed it in. Didn't even phone it in. He mailed it in. Snail mail.
I guess my one thing about that is, if you're a team president, do I need Magic scouting all over the place? I'm asking a genuine question here, because I want my GM and my actual scouts doing that. It's not like Magic was Daryl Morey. He doesn't have to go to Europe to look at players. I need him in the office a decent amount, but I don't need him there, you know, making all these intricate moves.
Think about what the various team presidents for the Texans, the Rockets, and the Astros do.
Well, those guys
work their butts off.
They do, but they're mostly business guys, so I don't
right,
even know how to
compare. Business guys.
Yeah.
Right.
But Magic's not, is Magic on, Magic was more, it seemed to me, a basketball guy with the Lakers.
Yeah.
He was, and he's a former general manager and a coach. Was he GM? No, Kupchak. He was a coach too.
Yes.
And I think if you had a president of the Texans with a background like that, he'd be more involved in personnel. Jamie Roos runs the administrative side. And if you have a guy, he doesn't need to be doing all the scouting. He's supposed to be relying on his people, but I could see if that's your expertise, you still want to be involved.
John, how about do anything? I mean, think about this. This is the Los Angeles Lakers. This is a team that's won 16 NBA titles. This is the epitome of basketball excellence, at least it used to be back in 2011. And you bring in Magic Johnson, who you would expect as someone who was part of their glory days, to help bring back that glory and help raise those expectations. And just like he did with his terrible TV show, The Magic Hour, and just like he did with his Inside the NBA stint, he half-assed it. And why anyone was surprised by this is mind-boggling to me, especially the Buss family. Like, you would think that they would have a pretty good idea of what Magic Johnson is all about.
And it shouldn't even be, it's not the Buss family, it's Jeannie Buss specifically.
Jeannie specifically, correct.
She fired her brother to make this move.
John McClain is in with us, brought to you by Horn Solutions, Mike, Seth, and Paul on a Wednesday. John, DeMarcus Lawrence has set the market for defensive players this offseason. He signed, if you guys missed it, a five-year deal this weekend. It's worth $65 million, $65 million guaranteed. I feel like it's a pretty good comparable player to Jadeveon Clowney. Will this contract affect the Texans and Clowney?
I don't believe it will. I still think he's destined to play under the franchise tag, just as DeMarcus Lawrence did last year. The difference in Lawrence and Clowney, Lawrence is a better pass rusher. Clowney's better against the run. And I would imagine, based on Lawrence being willing to take less than Aaron Donald and Khalil Mack, I would guess Clowney would have to take a little less than DeMarcus Lawrence, but I don't think they're going to get anything done before next year.
What would the difference be between DeMarcus Lawrence playing out the franchise tag last year and Jadeveon Clowney's situation this year?
It'd be the same.
I know technically it'd be the same, but like there didn't seem to be ill will at all with DeMarcus Lawrence, did there? It seemed like, kind of like, okay, well, we're at loggerheads and I'm just gonna play this thing out.
That's the same way Clowney. You know, there's been no ill will on Clowney's side, nothing from him or Buss Cook. Everything's been done quietly behind the scenes, and Clowney's working out now on his own. And of course, we're not going to see him till the start of the regular season. But they can still talk. It's just not on the front burner. And I'm sure Buss Cook call him back and say, hey, let's talk again. And he would talk to Chris Olsen, who does their contracts. But I'd be surprised if it gets done right now.
How do other writers around the league feel about Jadeveon Clowney? And vicariously, how do the teams also around the league feel about him?
Well, everybody thinks he's a disruptive player, the second best player on their defense, one of the top four players on their roster. And he's going to make a lot of money when he does sign a long-term contract. It just depends on what their budget is and what he's asking for.
So a DeMarcus Lawrence kind of deal is actually possible. Maybe not here with the Texans right now, but elsewhere, yes.
Well, Clowney's not going anywhere else unless he holds out and doesn't get him for the third year. Then they wouldn't franchise him for a quarterback feed, so a fit contract. And so I'm sure they'll have him at least the next 2 years, and I think he'll sign a long-term deal.
Not anywhere else, but at least the next 2 years. Interesting.
Well, okay.
Yeah, there's no way they're trading him.
This deal that DeMarcus Lawrence signed with the Cowboys, would the Texans be willing to give Clowney the same exact contract?
I have no clue. I just don't have any idea because all this has just happened. I would say it seems to be a deal short, since it's short of Mack and it's short of Donald.
Right.
But Lawrence has been a double-figure sack guy and a really good pass rusher. Clowney's a good pass rusher. He is great against the run, disruptive. Offenses have to worry about him. So I would think it would be somewhere just short of Lawrence's.
As the Players Association and the owners just got together yesterday for the first time to start having preliminary discussions about the next CBA, is there any chance that they get rid of the franchise tag going on in the future?
No, because the owners love it. Originally, it was for quarterbacks. Then they figured out how to get around that. And I don't think the union, that'll be a big deal to them because it only could affect one guy on a team. And they're more worried about the masses and the way they'll look at it. That guy, whether he's in a one-year deal or at least him getting a multi-year deal, he's still one of the highest paid guys in the league.
You know what, though? But
there's too many other battles to fight.
It affects more than that, though, because when you have the power of the franchise tag over players, it keeps those players from getting their maximum actual value. So then other contracts don't rise too. You think about quarterbacks. Like, okay, get a franchise tag. They end up agreeing to something that works out to about like what the top five players in the league make. And then that just keeps it right there at that same level. Instead of like when a quarterback hits actual free agency, it would skyrocket. So I don't know. I wonder if at least there's got to be tweaking to it or something. I know it's great for teams. I know it's great for fans to be able to keep their own star players. But it's also nice if you're on a bad team to actually be able to go out and get those star players. Like those years when you're 2-14 and you have cap space. Wow, what if you actually had the ability to go out and sign a quarterback in free agency? That would be awful nice.
I totally agree with you. Imagine if these guys like Rodgers or Luck could hit the open market. I mean, it's easy they would get $100 and $120 million guaranteed. because somebody is going to be willing to pay it out there.
No All the more reason they will not give it up. Everybody I've talked to at the league meeting, at the league and at team level, say there's no way they're giving up the franchise tag.
John McClain is with us on a Wednesday. He is brought to you by Horn Solutions, top of the hour.